Hello, and welcome to the Monthly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting some of the comics we got this month, a few from DC, a few from Marvel, and a few from some of the other publishers. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. In this monthly comic spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to discuss some of the comics we got in November 2024. James, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, John?
I am doing all right. This was a four-week month. I got 54 comics, which I think is about how many I got last time, and it was a five-week month.
Yeah, I got 71.
Wow.
But believe it or not, I think I trimmed 7 off my list this last order form, and I think I'm going to be pairing some more of just things that I don't like.
I know I'm going to be paring some more stuff down, but there's enough new things kind of getting onto the list and some stuff like that that it's not actually going down as much as it should. And I think the items I'm getting new are costing more than the ones I was getting rid of, which is not a winning strategy.
Ah, yeah, that happens. I'll tell you what, like, I've given some things a shot, like Amazing Spider-Man. I added it back on my list when they changed the creative team. Mm-hmm. And those things are jumping right back off, you know. So there's things like that, and there's been some things I'm kind of just done with, and I've already canceled them. I'm just letting them peter out at this point.
Yeah, for me, I've got stuff that is in the drop question mark category until it goes to dropping, when I've pulled the trigger, until it goes to dropped, meaning I got nothing left to on pre-order.
Yeah,
because it takes a few months for the stuff to go through the system.
It does, and sometimes things get slowed down, so you get a stray issue out here. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember I ordered that like 5 months ago. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I got an issue of You and I, number 6, the final issue, and that was probably solicited. That must have been 6 months ago.
That had to be. I dropped that with issue 5 ages ago. Was it a new release or just late?
It just came in my November box. I don't know. I had forgotten about it. You and I, number 6. So I was just like, all right. Well, that came in.
I wonder if that was something that got damaged and you're getting the replacement copy or something like that, or you know what I mean? Because I thought, wow.
I don't know what happened, but I got it. And I was like, I don't remember what's happening, and there's that.
Well, and these days, there's so many ways the system can get fouled up, between the crazy way some of the solicitations are happening, to the multiple distributors, to, you know, all the way down the line. It used to be a much simpler system.
Yeah, I feel really bad for people who own comic shops right now, because it's become a hindrance obtaining the product and having product ready for your customers, because good luck, warehouses closed, shipments damaged, shipments lost. It's just continual. And you hear the stories and you're just like, man, I feel bad for those guys.
Well, I'm getting my comics monthly, and the shipment was held for previews and one or two other things, I think, but mainly previews. So when it came, not only did you get all of November, I got the first 2 weeks of December.
Oh, so did you go ahead and read it or just leave it there for the next month?
No, I left those there for the next month.
Oh, okay. I was curious.
Otherwise, I mean, I'm trying to stick to November stuff for this episode, and if I'd read December, I'd just get confused. And there was plenty of November stuff to read.
Yeah, I get mine mush because I read it ahead of time, and then I'm like, oh yeah, don't speak about this because it hasn't happened yet. And I keep doing that to myself over and over again. And that's me.
Well, it's getting to where I don't read for a couple of weeks, and then I binge between the time the shipment comes and we record this episode, that I don't read for a couple of weeks and stuff like that. And honestly, I don't think it's really changed my reading experience all that much, because I'm still trying to read stuff in the order it came out and whatnot. So it's still roughly the same amount of time between issues and stuff, Jen.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Whatever.
Shall we dive into DC?
Yeah, let's go ahead. I'm going to filter my list now, which is too large. All right, here we go. I have 18 DC.
I have 20.
Wow, okay, so you have more DC. You have a lot less of the other stuff.
Yeah, actually, Marvel was kind of thin this time around, but DC I had a decent amount of. Where do we want to start?
I'll let you pick. I mean, we got more of the Absolute stuff. We got a new one, Absolute Superman.
Let's start with the Absolute stuff, because I wanted to kind of talk about the three of those. Absolute Superman, I like it better than Absolute Batman and Wonder Woman.
Okay.
But I don't think that's surprising to anybody. It's clearly not Superman. It's dystopic, but not as kind of off-puttingly so as the other two. And at this point, I'm continuing to reorder for the moment. So out of the three, I'm liking it because the other two I've already cut the cord on.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from because Absolute Superman is Jason Aaron, and it read exactly like you said. It's a little dystopic, and it's interesting, I would say. The other, for me, just had the other two, Batman and Wonder Woman, they seem like they're going really deep into that, almost like this indie type vibe. Like, we're going to lean heavily into that and different just to be different. You know, like, hey, let's make Wonder Woman basically like a sorceress from hell. And just bizarre. It's bizarre. It's very weird. And I'm reading it right now, and I would say this is weirder than anything that Marvel's done with their Ultimate stuff. It seems like it's gone a little bit further.
I would agree with that. And she is literally a sorceress from hell. Not sort of. I mean, exactly what she is.
Yeah.
And
that's so weird. It feels like, huh, this is bizarre.
Well, it's not Wonder Woman.
It's not. It could be any character. It could be a woman of wonder is what they should have called it.
If they had given this a new name and said, hey, we're doing this new world and stuff, and the surprise twist at the end was that she is Wonder Woman or something, back whenever they decide to do the kind of end game for this universe, which they imply is coming within a 6-month year time or some such. Maybe that would have worked better for me, but when I'm going in and they're doing all these name drops and it's nothing but name drops because these aren't the same characters, it's a little off-putting.
Oh, yeah.
And with Absolute Batman, not only are they doing that, but like Bruce is kind of part of his rogues gallery almost, it feels like at this point. And him going up against Alfred, some of the beats they're hitting there with Alfred feel very reminiscent of the Batman Year One trades they did a while back.
Yeah. I don't know if Alfred's supposed to be like MI6, CIA, or something like that, but it's very weird to see Alfred almost like competing against Batman. It's very weird. It's not bad. If I had to rank these books, I would put Superman 1, Batman 2, Wonder Woman 3 for me.
I'd probably put them in the same order. And Alfred is, I think, clearly MI6. And again, him being a spy and trained and stuff like that, that's the modern writer's explanation for how he was able to aid Batman so successfully in the main universe and stuff. It feels both very different and surprisingly unoriginal to boot, which is an odd combination.
Yeah. The Superman issue, the thing that I think set it apart is it didn't feel like it wasn't Superman necessarily. It's just they changed the mythos around what the symbolism means on the chest, the L's, and possibly how and why he came to the planet and who raised him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more along those lines, but he still feels like in the same vein a little bit. He seems to be a decent person, and he has the same power set. He's not from hell. He's not fighting his best friend or the person who raised him in a different book. So it's weird that with his other two.
Ironically, just like Batman had lost the generational wealth, so did Superman, except it was back on Krypton. His parents would have been scientists, but they offended the powers that be, and they were relegated to being farmers.
Exactly. So now the whole, I guess you'd call them the L-class, are literally the manual laborers of the planet Krypton.
Some of these are such clear reversals for the sake of being reversals that, again, it feels a little unoriginal. And even all of that aside, even if it were wildly original, whatever, it's not something I feel like I've got to read to Batman and Superman, or Batman and Wonder Woman, at least. Superman is good enough for me to stay for the moment off the first issue alone, but I don't know how long it'll stay that way.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing for me, I don't want to say interesting, but I'm trying to compare this to Ultimates, is Ultimates, a lot of time, the Ultimate books, they feel like the character. There's some differences here and there, but you're reading a Black Panther book or you're reading a Spider-Man book, and here it feels like that's not who that is. And that's where it feels off-putting other than Superman. And so those other two, I'm still purchasing them right now, but I have my latest order form and I'm like, do I really keep going down this path? I don't know.
Well, I think the key difference is with the Ultimate Universe, it's very clearly the Maker had modified their history, their backstory.
Yeah.
With Absolute, the backstory that was modified was their parents.
Correct.
And the kids are feeling the repercussions of that.
Yes.
Because nobody really monkeyed with Superman's history so much as his parents' history, and that caused Kal-El, Clark's, whatever, to be different. Same with Bruce and Diana.
Correct. I'm still waiting to see the whole thing with where did he land? Because we're seeing him in Brazil, basically in a favela in Brazil. And is he Clark? Did he go to Kansas? I don't know. I don't know if that all changed too. That's where I am. Or was he raised in the favelas and that's where he came from? Because that's what I don't know.
I doubt he was raised there. My guess is since his scientist parents on Krypton are now farmers, in place of the farmer Kents on Earth, he'll have probably been raised by the Luthors. Rebelled against then, and then that's why he's gone this way. But that's a wild guess.
Yeah, and that's a good guess. I mean, I was going into this and I'm like, and that makes sense, but he seems like a good person. But at this point, we don't know enough. We have the one issue.
Yeah, we've got the one issue, and all I'm doing is saying, if they are going to continue the name-dropping and the blatant reversals, what would make sense for his backstory?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Exactly. That's where we are.
Yeah, the absolute stuff was what I was thinking we'd talk about first.
Yeah. All right, what else did you want to talk about?
I was thinking we'd dive into the Justice League stuff with both Justice League Unlimited and kind of one of the companion titles of Question, All Along the Watchtower.
Okay, All Along the Watchtower?
Yeah, for the Question.
Oh, I did not read that. So I'm like, Question, All Along the... Okay, I thought you were saying the Question was All Along the Watchtower. I'm like, what?
Well, no, the Question, the character, colon, All Along the Watchtower, the subtitle.
That's a really long title. Okay, I did not get that. So you'll have to tell me about that.
Well, basically, with this Justice League Unlimited, which I thought was a good first issue.
Yeah, I do too.
You're going the Traitors in the Midst storyline. It's like, really, so soon? Disappointed with who they kind of telegraph the traitor seems to be. I'm hoping that character is like forced into it and get redeemed later, but we'll see. But they're basically, the Justice League is now this uber umbrella organization. If you've got powers and are not a blatant incarcerated criminal, you seem to be part of the Justice League.
Yeah. It gave me the vibes of almost Jonathan Hickman with the Avengers world. And that,
yeah.
Well, everyone was Avenger, but Cap was running the team and pulling the characters that were needed. And here, Batman's the one kind of pulling the levers, I would think, but you're not.
But this rings true to the Justice League Unlimited cartoon from ages ago.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. But they didn't put Batman in that position, I'm sorry, but FYI.
Yeah, yeah.
It was someone else.
What's interesting is since you've now got all these people who are part of the Justice League, you've got this huge satellite, many of them are living up there full time.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, so they've got the Question, Renee Montoya from Gotham, kind of being the quote-unquote sheriff of that town.
Okay. I did not get that, so it totally ties into it. And did the Question work for you?
Yeah, I thought it was a good read.
Okay. All right. I will tell you the Justice League, I love the Dan Moore art, and I thought the book was decent. Can they keep the cast with everyone being in the Justice League, or does it water it down? I don't know. It remains to be seen. That's where I am with it. It's interesting.
I suspect they're going to focus on a core group of the 7 or 8 that we got on the cover of that first issue, and that we're going to have various people kind of swinging in and out of the story as, you know, issues go along.
As needed, yeah.
We're going to have the Question, the Atom Project, and maybe one or two other titles kind of rounding it out to kind of further flesh it out and stuff. So if they can keep a decent amount of continuity where things are consistent, but you don't have to read all of them to understand it, it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. I'm on board for Justice League for now. It was decent. And like I said, like the art, like the book, good.
If you like the Renee Montoya character, who's been going as the Question for a while, you might want to check that out. There's also a few other characters in her orbit that are in that title.
Okay. All right. Cool. So now, I had a question for you inside this DC realm, and this is a jump. Are we done with the Justice League?
Yeah, we're done. Go ahead.
Okay. I know you added Detective Comics.
Have not gotten it yet.
Okay, so I won't discuss it. But I will tell you, Tom Taylor moved over there. And so I started picking it up because of Tom Taylor. He's off Nightwing and he went over to Detective. And the first issue was like a little bit weird because I was like, okay, they're doing something with Joe Cool here. But now that I got the second issue, I'm like, okay, I think he was wrapping up that storyline. They were kind of tag teaming from the previous writer. And so now it's kind of going in a different direction, and I enjoyed this 1091 better than 1090.
Cool.
So I am liking it.
Based on your recommendation, I think Jason Z had also talked about it recently. I have asked Eric to get me 1090, 1091, 1092. I've pre-ordered 1093, and I'm planning on pre-ordering 1094. If I like what they're doing, because it's Tom Taylor, who's a solid writer.
Yeah.
Mikhail Janson, who's a great artist.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good creative team.
Yeah, it is. It's really solid. So I read it and I was like, hey, I think you'll like this. Check it out. for me, this is kind of like my Batman book, because I'm not reading Batman, and Batman and Robin's kind of fallen to the wayside for me. I'm not enjoying it as much as I did, and so there's that.
I think the only Batman book I am getting, well, actually, there's four on the list. Absolute Batman, we talked about, I'm dropping. Batman Scooby-Doo Mysteries sort of doesn't count, but it's only got another issue after this one. And that leaves Batman and Robin Year One, which is a backstory kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then Batman Superman's World's Finest.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting any, you know, Batman or any of those other titles.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. So, and I'm probably going to be getting rid of Absolute Batman, and I'm definitely getting rid of Batman and Robin. The Batman and Robin Year One is better than the Batman and Robin, I think.
Well, Mark Waid, Chris Samnee, of course it's better.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, Mark Waid knows the DC characters inside and out. Now, not everyone's going to agree with every take on every character he's got, but he understands how to write a DC story very well. He understands how to write Marvel and Boom. I mean, he's written all over the planet, so I mean, he's a good writer. Chris Samnee, time-tested artist who's a really good match for this story.
Yeah.
So yeah, if it's not taking place in the current day, again, this is all kind of backstory for them, but it's fun backstory.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't want to go too deep into the well with DC because we have a lot of other stuff to cover. But I did want to ask you, are you getting Green Arrow still?
I am, and we had issue 17, and we had the annual.
Yeah, okay. This was the last issue. Did you get 18? Did that not come out? Or is that December?
I think that's December.
Oh, okay. I got it with a November shipment. So I was going to talk with you about that because that's a new writer. So I will change the date on that and wait to talk about it in a month.
Well, 17 was the Chris Corden one where they started the new arc.
Okay, never mind. That was the one. Okay, never mind. All right.
I thought just got 17 a bad date. Was all set up, no payoff.
Yep.
Decent read for what it was, which was the first chapter of a trade. As a single issue, it left a lot to be desired.
I would agree. I'm right there with you. So.
And I thought they'd queued it up very well with the previous issue.
Yes, I agree. So I would say I was a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, I was definitely disappointed. It was competent, but for first chapter of a trade.
Yeah, it stepped down.
Yeah. Did you get the annual?
Yes, I did. And it was like the touchy-feely Grandpa Ollie with the Arrow family kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, touchy-feely, but I feel like I could have skipped it and I didn't need to read it.
I would agree. I thought it was a decent story. I think the kids should have been much more clearly identified and named, because it's like, I think I know who some of them are, but the others, it's like, I don't know, and it didn't matter to the story at all, but it's like, come on. If you want to build up the Green Arrow family in a very literal sense, identify them. Hell, even if they just had a thing at the beginning or end of here's the family tree.
Tell me who the hell I am looking at, because I have no clue. It's just kids.
Yeah. Why is he babysitting?
Yeah.
I was a little surprised and disappointed that there was no JSA in any of the splash pages.
Yeah, that was surprising.
They've established that Green Arrow and Speedy, Roy, got stuck in time and were part of the JSA back in the 50s or whatever for a little bit.
Yeah. So it was an annual, and I don't think it's must-read material.
No, totally skippable. I was curious when Ollie hung out with Commandy, but I don't know that we'll ever find out or that it'll ever matter.
I agree.
It's probably just something they're implying. If he was bouncing through time, he must have done that. Do you get Action Comics these days, or you gave up on that, didn't you?
I gave up on it, and I never added it back because they went to the weird thing where they have rotating teams coming through, and I was just like, I'm out.
Well, and they're doing it weekly at $4.99 a shot, except for issue 1075, which is $5.99.
Oh, nice.
And they're doing kind of a split story. We're getting some stuff in these issues with Superman on Krypton interacting with parents. Fun, Silver Bronze Age kind of feel to it in all the right ways. Again, Mark Waid writing, go figure. But then another part of that story, kind of the, I don't want to say subplot, because it's got absolutely nothing to do with the main plot, but there's a bit with Superboy and the Superman of China, which I don't like the art or the story on that, and it's interwoven. It should have just been its own kind of backup feature. But then it'd be competing with the backup feature of Supergirl, which I have no idea what the hell is going on with that story still. 5, 6, 7 chapters in. And it was, again, interesting to see some of the Krypton stuff. In 1075, we got Perry White kind of walking down memory lane before he gets elected mayor of Metropolis. So that was nice. Whether it amounts to anything, don't know. But again, I was liking the time on Krypton because it harkened back to an 80s era kind of feel of the story and whatnot. But then we get back to the present day with the whole Mon-El and trapped in the Phantom Zone and all that stuff. And I couldn't help but think this was about $20 at cover price of what I got this month.
That's a lot.
They could have cut the Supergirl story entirely and I'd have been happier. They could have skipped the Superboy Superman of China subplot entirely. I'd have been happier. And they definitely could have trimmed the cost as a result of that and I'd have been happier.
Yeah, that's never a good feeling because then you feel like you're getting fleeced.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine, but it was more expensive than it should have been and not as fulfilling as I felt it should have been.
By the way, just a weird aside, something that I found, I don't want to say it annoying, but it's just interesting over at DC is Superman. You know, I'm like, hey, it's a decent book. I've been reading Superman and enjoying it. But with this stuff that they've done with Lois, I've been waiting forever. And I think it's in a shipment right now coming to me that they're doing the Superwoman special.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I already got that in my shipment.
Yeah, I think I have that. I just haven't read it or anything.
It's a December book, yeah.
Because I've been reading this going, why? When did this happen? And so finally, we will find out why and what is happening. So
I'm curious about the Superman story because they tease kind of the Legion of Infinite Worlds. Getting Superman versus Doomsday again. I forget how many times they've done that. There was a reveal at the end that meant nothing to me. But, I mean, they're teasing the Time Trapper and some other stuff. If this were done by Mark Waid, I have a feeling I'd be enjoying it a lot more. I mean, Joshua Williamson's not a bad writer. He's not a great writer, in my opinion.
I get what you're saying. I've been enjoying him more than when he first started with DC, but he's not great by any means. He's just improving. I've seen him improve over the years.
Now, the art by Dan Mora on this title, great.
It's fantastic, yeah.
How he's finding the time to do all these titles, I don't know.
That guy's insanely prolific for the amount of detail he does in his work.
Yeah, yeah. He's a terrific artist. If he can keep up that many books, more power to him.
Yeah, exactly.
One last thing I wanted to talk about on DC. Did you get JSA number one?
I did not. I skipped it. So, did you like it?
Well, I like how it referenced the All-Star Squadron and Infinity Inc. Thought that was nice.
Okay.
It seemed like some serious stuff happened between volumes, because where we left the team and where they're at now seems fairly different, and I felt the last page reveal kind of undid some of what happened in the last volume, or puts a really depressing twist on it at the very least. So, it was nice to see the JSA, but I'm not going to say I'm loving Jeff Lemire's take on it.
Okay, all right. So, that was a good skip by me. Jeff Lemire is, I like to chalk him up in certain areas. He's like a 40% writer for me. 40% of the stuff he writes, I'll like. 60%, I can pass. Just for me.
I'm not sure he's got that good of a batting average with me.
Yeah, it could be less. It could be a third.
Yeah. Should we move over to Marvel?
Yeah, let's do that. I filtered my list, and yeah, this is another area I'm getting less, and I am making some cuts. I'm getting rid of Amazing Spider-Man. Can't do that anymore. I brought it back. And you want, and I think I talked in spoilers. You saw that, right?
Yeah, I saw what you were saying on that. It just wasn't working for you.
The way that they went in that direction, I was like, man, this is just what I don't need. I don't need the, oh, cool, look at this. No, I need a solid story. So I'm out. I'm done. I don't need any special suits or special things or weird stuff happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that. What are you liking over at Marvel?
What am I liking?
Did you get West Coast Avengers?
I did get West Coast Avengers.
Okay, it was a funny book. What did you think of that? Did that sit well for you?
It had humorous aspects, some of which I thought were almost making fun of the characters.
Yes.
Some of what they were doing with Iron Man. It's like, really? Come on. Yeah, I didn't care for how Firestar was treated.
Okay.
I'm curious where the Ultron arc is going. I thought it was an okay issue. Decent enough, I'll give it another issue or two on pre-order. But it didn't totally hook me on the thing.
Yeah.
And it could easily fall off the list.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. I think it was Brawlinator, Chris Brawley. He put in spoilers like some stuff from West Coast and how he didn't know it's a funny book, you know, and stuff like that. And so I had already pre-ordered it and I got it. And so I think I went into it expecting something bad. And then when I read it, it's Jerry Dugan. He does the writing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, and then I thought about it, his comedy works for me from time to time. He does it in a way where I don't mind it. He did that one where they lost privacy over in Image Comics. I can't remember the name of the story, but where there was no privacy at all in this world that he created. You know, there's no firewalls, no nothing. And so that book was kind of funny and it worked for me. And the same thing here. It was kind of silly, kind of corny, but it worked for me. And I was like, it was something different because I was getting so disappointed with Amazing Spider-Man with some of the X-Men stuff that I was like, ah, oh, this is something different, and haha, is cool, is light, funny. Will it stick with me long term? I don't know. And the Ultron thing is very weird for me. I'm like, okay, where did this happen? I don't know.
Well, it's happening here, so they hadn't set this up. It's out of nowhere.
All right, I was like, where did this happen? Did I miss a book?
As far as I know, it's out of here. Maybe if it was set up somewhere, I missed that.
Okay.
But I think the problem is, it's one thing to do a humor book. This is almost more of a parody book parodying the Avengers.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you've got a straight take on it in over in Avengers and Avengers Assemble and all those other places. You got to have a consistent attitude towards the Avengers across the world, the publishing line to a degree. And it's not to say you can't do a funny Avengers book, but when the point is to undercut them and make fun of them, what they did here with Iron Man makes it hard for me to take him seriously over in his other book.
Yeah, I know what you're getting with. Yeah, the little cart.
The scooter, the battery pack on the outside, haha, isn't this funny? No, he's just incompetent, I guess.
Yeah, I did laugh, but yes, kind of incompetent. I know where you're coming from. I can understand how it can be frustrating, and yet at the same time, I was laughing at it.
I think the fact that people are laughing at it is the problem.
Yeah. Okay, so there's this weird thing. If you're looking at something, you want to see something stupid funny, this is the book. But it's kind of stupid, I think. It's this lowbrow humor, and I liked it.
I don't mind the lowbrow humor. I mind the target of the lowbrow humor.
Understand. Okay, I respect where you're coming from. I can see where you're coming from.
When it's the title characters and they're, in theory, A-list Avengers?
Yeah, not as good. You know what? This would have been better. Like, what was that? The Sinister Six? Remember that one with the comedy?
Mm-hmm.
That was a funny book with the characters. I think it was the Sinister Six.
The Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
That's what it was. Superior Foes. All right. Yeah, Superior Foes. That was hilarious. And just a different take.
When you take D or C-list characters, villains and stuff, and want to make fun of them, okay. Their job is to lose every time they fight.
When you do it with Iron Man, it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, other people may be loving this title. That's great. For me, it's hanging on more out of curiosity of where they're going with Ultron than anything else.
Okay. All right. I get where you're coming from. So what did you like?
Ultimates. I thought that was good.
Ultimates was my top pick of the month.
It was a bit violent in places.
Yes, it was.
But
it was very violent. The fight in there was brutal.
Yeah, definitely brutal. Had an interesting twist on how it brought in the Iron Fist lore to this world. I thought it was a good read, and this is a book where every issue is building to the bigger whole, but also sort of stands alone to a degree, or stands alone is not the right word, is self-contained.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed this. It goes back and forth toe-to-toe with Ultimate Spider-Man, depending on which Ultimate Universe book, but I think this one took the top prize this month. It was really good.
Oh, I thought it was way better than Ultimate Spider-Man this month.
Yeah. Ultimate Spider-Man I still really enjoyed, but it was not as good as the previous issue.
Previous issue, I think, was the best of the bunch for that title. This wasn't bad, but it was kind of boring and kind of a quick read.
Yeah, it was very quick. Did you like the new Black Cat?
Did she actually do anything or just stand there?
She just was there.
They make it seem like, who is the Ultimate Black Cat? I don't know, and I read the issue.
Yeah, we got to see her, but you know, that's all we did.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with that. There was an interaction between Uncle Ben and Peter that puts a very different kind of a twist on the whole Spider-Man thing, because Uncle Ben flat out tells Peter, you have a family, you have a lot you can lose if this goes south.
Yes, and he does.
And again, that kind of guilt trip from Uncle Ben is ironic and appropriate, but a little kind of weird.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I will tell you, the X-Books weren't sitting well for me, because right now I'm down to the one that I'm enjoying is X-Men, the main X-Men book, X-Men. Uncanny X-Men, it seems like they're turning it into the new mutant people with powers and kids and stuff like that.
Yeah, these are the last two issues of Uncanny I'm getting.
I canceled it. Yeah, I'm done with Uncanny X-Men, so that's another one that I lost. So I'm getting X-Men, I'm getting Wolverine, and for now, I'm getting X-Factor. X-Factor's been slowing down a little bit for me, but it looks like I might only have three X titles moving forward.
I'm getting X-Factor. I thought this issue was okay. It was done in one, but felt totally inconsequential.
Yep.
It's on the list to potentially drop. I'm trying to remember if I pre-ordered in the latest order form or not. I don't think I did. I think I actually did cut the cord on that one. And then X-Force is in the same thing. where the February is the current order form. I think I'm planning to not get X-Factor and X-Force, but I haven't actually made that decision yet. They're on the chopping block with not much saying keep them.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. I feel like Marvel right now is putting out way less stuff that I really enjoy. And it makes me a little bit sad because I'm a Marvel guy.
Yeah. Well, the other one I stopped getting was Iron Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you quit. I think I'm still getting it, but this issue was not good. The second one, it was like, eh.
Actually, I've got one more on pre-order. Tony doesn't look like Tony. Iron Man looks like a medieval cosplay version of Iron Man. There was a huge extended dream sequence that just didn't work for me. And I'm like, time to stop pre-ordering. Like I said, I got one more issue, comes in December, and that's it.
Yeah. And magic armor. How many characters do we need to stick magic into their costume? I'm getting sick of this.
I think all of them, because they're going to be going up against Doom.
Oh, that's right. Oh, lo and behold, I forgot that Doom is whatever that has been solicited. I forget what they call it, World War Doom or whatever the hell it's called.
I want to see all these characters with their new magic armor and stuff get together and have magic from the X-Men show up in her armor. Because, I mean, you get, what, Scarlet Witch, Spider-Man, Iron Man. I'm trying to remember who else has donned magic armor these days.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's it. The Rise of Emperor Doom. And that's what's driving me off of Spider-Man. I don't want to see Spider-Man with magic in his costume. And it's all because of this Emperor Doom that they're doing this. Quit screwing with characters to make a silly event.
I'm not liking silly events, but I'm not really up for major events at this point. I know they're going to do a X title crossover, but I was looking at the issues involved in it. And the only book I think I'm still getting at that point is Exceptional X-Men. And it seems like it'll be tangential to that and not like a core part of its story, so I'm going to skip the rest, read that, and see what happens.
Yeah, see if it works for you.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I will tell you, something else that is very good, and I know you're not getting it, is Aliens versus Avengers. I do enjoy that. Mm. I think it's a fun title, and so if you like Aliens and you like Avengers and you like stuff in the future, it's good.
Cool. The other one I had been liking, but I think I'm dropping, or certainly on the list, I don't have a January issue. I think the reason I didn't order one in the current previews is it's not listed then, and that's Captain America.
Oh, okay, yeah, I cut it already. Captain America, it got really bad.
Straczynski's run has not been great.
No.
This was part two, I think, of the Warriors 3 storyline with Thor and Cap, and it wasn't a great issue. Some of the characters are acting a little out of character. Not, oh my god, out of character, but enough. It's another case, I think, of JMS trying to prove how quote-unquote clever he can be. And he's a smart guy. There's no question about that. But when he tries to beat the reader over the head with it in a story, it gets annoying.
Yeah.
And then there was a minor breaking of the fourth wall that just didn't sit well with me. And it's like, it's not like I've been loving the title up until this. So this is getting to be that straw that breaks the camel's back kind of thing. And when there's another issue to pre-order, I'm not sure that I will. And I've been getting Captain America off the rack for forever and a day.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
So the other thing I think that was fun is Mystique.
Oh, yeah.
And they did another twist on that, which was kind of interesting. And it's good spy versus spy type stuff.
Yeah, I'd skip that title, but you have piqued my interest in it to where I might pick up a trade or something on that.
I think it's worth checking out when it's all done, unless it goes downhill. But I'm enjoying it so far.
All right, cool.
Anything else on Marvel?
They need to get their act together. That's it.
I only got 13 issues. We talked about 11 of them. And honestly, I don't think Avengers and Avengers Assemble were particularly brilliant either. So
Yeah.
Let's move on to the other publishers.
Yeah, the indies. Let's go.
I got 21 titles over here.
Okay, this is where I had a bunch of stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that's canceled in here. There are 35 books listed. That's a lot.
Wow.
Okay, and some of the stuff I think spilled in. Okay, I've sampled G.I. Joe number one, canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Girl Called Cthulhu, canceled. Heatseeker Combustion, I've canceled it.
I'm getting Heatseeker. I haven't read this one. I figure I'll wait for the miniseries to finish. I don't think I'm going to continue with Heatseeker or Gun Honey after this. They're okay, but not must reads.
Exactly. The first one was innovative and new and fresh, and now it's played out, and I'm done with it, I think.
It's feeling increasingly indulgent.
Yes. And then The Moon is Following Us, I've canceled. Murder Kingdom, canceled it. There's A Red Sonja, A Rome Eternal, Sir has been canceled by the company. You and I was surprised I got it. Violet Flowers, and finally Void Rivals, I have canceled it.
I don't think I was getting any of those other ones, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Domain number 5, this was the last issue. Creepshow, I canceled it. Conan and the Battle of the Blackstone, last issue, I think, or the next one's the last issue. So there's a lot of stuff falling off in this area, a lot.
For me, there's not much falling off. I mean, Domain is completed. Flash Gordon, I think I've got one more on order, and then I'm done after this first arc.
Makes sense. I'm thinking about canceling it too, honestly.
It's okay. It's not essential reading. But other than that, let's see, Ranger Academy, that ended. That series was never what I thought it was going to be when it started. I probably could have and should have skipped it. I mean, what horrible, it just wasn't really in sync with the Power Rangers franchise, given how the franchise is all but dead at the moment. It's a little disappointing. They did start up Power Rangers Prime this time around, though.
Oh, okay.
It seems to be a post-alien colonization of Earth storyline. It seems like it's the Altarian Zordon's race. There's reference to VR Troopers, which surprised me.
Hmm.
It references Power Rangers Samurai kind of heavily, and it seems to be almost more of a sci-fi take on Power Rangers of one of these run-of-the-mill aliens have taken over the world. How do we fight back? The twist this time is, well, somebody gets Power Ranger abilities, and that's how they'll fight back, I guess. It's not bad, it's not great, but it's really about the only ongoing concern for Power Rangers at the moment. The show's stopped, the toys have stopped. Really, I think the only other thing is the role-playing game.
Wow, all right.
Yeah. So I'm liking it, it's good. Not going to say it's brilliant, but I'm liking it enough to keep going with it.
Okay, I have a question for you now, not about Power Rangers. Okay, we're both reading Jupiter's Legacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finale? Okay, issue 2 seems like we went in a completely different direction, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, last time we were talking about it, we were thinking, hey, it might be fun to reread all the Jupiter's Legacy stuff. And
I think we need to.
I don't know.
I don't know.
There's major exposition to reframe the entire narrative here at the 11th hour, making a lot of the earlier stuff seem kind of pointless.
Did he just do that? I'm like, what happened?
Absolutely did. And I'm like, do I really care to reread any of the other stuff now?
That's where I am. Now, did you like this? Based on this issue, did you like it?
It was okay-ish.
Okay.
C plus category kind of a thing. It's not great.
Okay, I liked it, and yet at the same time, I felt like I had the rug pulled out from under me. I'm like, what happened here? And I mean, I know what happened here, but that's the feeling you get. You feel unease and at a loss, and at the same time, I did enjoy the story. And I wonder if he did this because there's been such long breaks between these to somehow tie it all together and make it easier to follow. I don't know what his game plan is with this, but I'm just like, huh.
If this is the finale, what he did here this late in the game was, I think, a major mistake.
Correct. Now, this could also be something that's happening mentally to characters. This is not reality.
Well, or they're being told this and it's not the truth.
That's what I'm thinking is going on. I don't think he built all this up.
Dangerous thing to do.
So it could be brilliant or it could be a total screw-up, and that's where I'm waiting to see.
Something's going on because this issue had Tommy Lee Edwards on art. Next has Matthew Dow Smith. The fourth one has Lee Carter. Why out of 5 issues are we having at least 4 artists? I forget who's the first art issue. But yeah.
It is bizarre, and I don't know what he's doing. I feel off-kilter right now, and yet at the same time, I did enjoy it when I read it.
I would have enjoyed it more if I had the context because of the long gestation of the whole universe.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that it started, not really how it started. So there's a level of the story I'm not appreciating and getting. And based on what they did in this particular issue, it's kind of made me question my enthusiasm for rereading the stuff.
That makes sense. Okay. I understand exactly where you're coming from. Now I have another question for you.
Okay.
Was there anything you wanted to go into? Because I have another book that I think we both read.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, did we get Power Fantasy 3 and 4? Did you get 3 and 4?
I got 4. I thought we got 3 last time.
Okay, so I had the wrong date on 3. I don't know why I have Power Fantasy 3 here, and I'm like, I thought we discussed that already. Okay, 4, did you like that? Because for me, I felt like 3 was much better than 4.
I think by issue 4, I mean, it's still good, but it's starting to lose that shiny newness for me. And it's like, okay, people with superpowers, they need to be managed or they'll destroy the world. I got it.
Yes.
And it's like, next issue is the end of an arc with number 5. I don't know if there's going to be more of this afterwards. Unless 5 is really good, I don't know that I'll come back for more.
That's kind of where I am. I felt like it started off something so fresh and so different and so new. that it was like, wow, this is a breath of fresh air. This is interesting. But yet, because of this world that he's built, it's almost built to just be a world of philosophical arguments. And how long can you run with that before the readership gets bored? Because literally nothing can happen. Because if something happens, the book is over.
Well, not necessarily the book is over, but you can't have too many things happen because, what was it, Spain or that part of Europe or whatever is just a crater.
Yeah.
Because somebody had a disagreement 30 years ago or whenever the hell it was, I forget. So yeah, the basic premise of this universe precludes the usual superhero fisticuffs, and we're getting a lot more talking heads and philosophical stuff. And it's interesting, it's not bad, but it feels like we're not moving forward and we're just treading that same ground over and over again.
Yes. And I feel like I'm getting tired of him explaining philosophy to me a little bit. I mean, I get it. I understand it. But I'm like, I feel like he's trying to put on a class. And I'm like, okay, I get the gist of it. I don't need it to be explained to me over and over again and have this guy who's an intellectual just going around teaching you the different forms of philosophy and how I'm going to be clever. And it, to me, that just, you're starting to bore me a little bit.
It can get old quick. Did you ever watch The Good Place?
I'm trying to remember The Good Place.
Ted Danson, Kristen Bell.
Oh, I did, yes.
I want to watch that. My sister has not watched it. I want to sit her down and watch it. Just finding time for 4 seasons, 13 episodes each, and having some discussions afterwards, because that was a show about ethics.
Yeah, my wife and I enjoyed it, actually.
It was brilliant.
Yes.
It was not only a sitcom about ethics, it was a course on ethics.
Yes. It was fantastic. I really love that show.
That's about the only time I can think of where somebody is basically set forth to educate as well as entertain to that degree, and it really worked.
It worked fantastically.
And that's the magic that's missing from power fantasy.
Yeah, I loved all the characters in that like the whole cast, they just great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Cheaty. I'm looking at a picture. I'm like, I was trying to think, The Good Place. I've heard that. And I'm looking at him right now. There's the model who's the Indian lady. And
who went on to be in She-Hulk.
Exactly, She-Hulk. So it was just a fantastic cast, and it was terrific.
One of the other guys wound up being in Star Wars stuff. Obviously, you had Ted Danson, who's done Cheers, Becker, and other things. I mean, great career there. And then Kristen Bell from Veronica Mars, ton of other work as well. So
yeah.
Great cast.
It's a great cast, and just the twist in there at the end of the first season, you're like, what?
Well, at the end of the first episode, the end of the first season.
Oh, that's what it was.
They kept doing that time after time, and it landed the ending. So
yeah.
At some point, I'm going to talk to my sister once we can find that kind of a time, and it may be quite a ways from now to do that. But again, when you're saying how they're constantly teaching us philosophy here, that's what came to mind. Because
yes.
It's hard to do that well.
Exactly. It's really hard to do that well, and you can drive people away. Now, off to a different subject, did you have any other things? Because there was 2 comics I was just going to mention in brief, unless you had something you want to go.
Did you get Rockefellers?
I did. Did you?
I did. I think it may be the first Ghost Machine comic I think I've read. I don't remember if I read the first issue of Geiger or not.
This is part of their new family, like, imprint. You know, Family Odysseys, they call it.
Mm.
So it's more, like, geared towards, you know, it has a Fantastic Four feel.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I thought it was good stuff. Definitely going to keep going for now. Peter Tomasi, Francis Manapul in the writing, Francis Manapul in the art.
Yeah.
Interesting. If they can keep it moving, keep it going, I'll stay with it for a bit.
Yeah. It had funny hijinks, and that's the vibe. If I could point to anything, it had a Fantastic Four vibe. While it's not Fantastic Four, a family, 3 generations jumping in time to the present day for Thanksgiving. And it was a ton of fun. And then I didn't even realize that because I read Rockefellers. And then the next week, I think I got Hornsby and Halo #1.
Mm.
And someone mentioned it online. And that was the other #1. And it was from Ghost Machine. And it said Family Odysseys. I was like, oh, and I looked as along with Rockefellers. So it's geared towards, like, you can, not that the whole family sits down and reads it together, but it's meant to be all ages versus the other one's a little bit more mature.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Hornsby and Halo, same type of setup. It's Peter Tomasi writing. Peter Snijberg. I don't know how to say his name. S-N-E-J-B-J-E-R-J-G. Snijberg.
I have no idea. You're asking the wrong guy if you're asking me how to pronounce it.
He's the artist, that dude. But this one, it talks about a war between the forces of hell and heaven, angels and the people of the inferno, the demons. And basically, there's a peace treaty signed. And you know how, like, back in the Middle Ages, they would exchange, like, children almost as hostages.
Mm-hmm.
And so literally, the devil people, the inferno people, have to send one of their kids to be raised by a really good family on Earth. And one of the angel group has to send their kid to be raised by a really horrible family on Earth. And so it's set up as to be nature versus nurture.
Ah.
Which one takes precedent? And I'll tell you what, it's not brilliant. It's not, I don't know if these will tie into the whole ghost machine world, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed both of the Family Odyssey books.
Cool.
Yeah, so Ghost Machine has become my indie books, that and Conan. The things I'm really enjoying.
For me, the indie books are coming down to a lot of properties that have been around the block before. You know, the Star Trek, Thundercats, Power Rangers, Johnny Quest, Gatchaman, stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's what you know and you're comfortable and you're probably enjoying it.
Yeah.
I've taken some flyers out here and I got burned so many times and I'm just like, I have more trepidation every month. And then I get to a rage quit point where I'm like, all right, I'm canceling 7 titles today. Boom. And there might be 8 more on the next month and I just rage cancel.
I can understand that.
Yeah. It's just how I get.
Well, if you're tolerating it to a bit and it really hits a breaking point and stuff, kind of the snapback reaction or whatever, a lot of things get lost in the collateral damage almost.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I am. I'm hoping Mark Millar, whatever his name is, decides to keep writing books because a lot of his books are getting to issues 4 and 5 and I know they'll be wrapping up. And I just hope he has more in his pipeline because I've been enjoying his stuff.
I'm sure he does. He's an idea factory.
Yeah, that guy's insane. The ideas he can come up with. Just the number.
That's, again, part of why I was disappointed with Jupiter's Legacy finale number 2. It's like, that's where he went? He's a better writer than that.
Yeah, I got to see the next issue because I don't know if that's what he's doing. Or really.
Even if he walks it back, it left a bad taste in my mouth for that issue.
I can understand. I know exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah.
So.
Now, we did get some questions.
Oh, okay, cool.
Now, by some, I mean really 1.5. I'll count mine as a half.
All right.
The question we got was from X-Men Patrick. Are you reading the new TMNT? The first 4 issues are going to highlight one turtle at a time. First was Rafe, who was in prison. Second was Mikey, who's a TV star in Japan. That actually sounds interesting. The third one was Leo, who was in India. Last one comes out today when he posted the question. What do you think? Is it a good time to start at number 1, but continue continuities, parenthetically, years past, but backstory was the 130 issues before it, ? Should they have started from new? Do you think the last Ronin Turtles can gather up the same success? Have you been reading the Turtle stuff?
I have. I have 4 issues so far.
Okay.
So I will say I have never read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I've seen the cartoons probably a couple times. My brothers are watching it. Mm-hmm. I've been enjoying the comics. They're good. I wouldn't say they're A+, but for me, they're like B+ material. The third issue I liked the least out of them. I can't remember which turtle that was.
Leo.
Leo, that's the one I liked the least. The fourth one, which was the Donatello, I think,
mm-hmm.
was very grim and dark. He's kind of lost his mind. He's in a fight club and lost his mind to the point where apparently their trainer, this happened somewhere in Teenage Mutant Ninja lore. I don't know. I think his name was
Splinter.
Splinter. I was going to call him Stick, but I know it's just offshoots of Daredevil. But yeah, Splinter is dead. And so he's seeing normal rats as Splinter.
Mm.
And so literally at one point he has a dead rat on his shoulder kind of like stuck there when the other turtles come. And at the very end of that issue, they get together and he's like, look who I found. And they're just like, oh my God, this guy's kind of lost it. But overall, this has been fun. It's been enjoyable. Should they have restarted it? It might have been easier for me jumping in, but I think it would have burned a lot of people who've read the Turtles a long time.
I don't think they should have restarted it, and I say this as somebody who has not read the current volume or the previous volume.
I agree.
But what I did read was the 4-issue Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sourcebook miniseries that just came out.
Ah!
And that was actually a surprisingly good read as a sourcebook and seemed to be a really good, well-organized recap of the 130-issue series that just ended. Now, I didn't read that series, so I could be wrong if it's really good recap or not. But it was informative, entertaining, well-structured, and stuff like that. So I wouldn't let not having read that previous volume stop you from getting a new volume. But if you do want to learn more about that backstory, here's a four-issue miniseries they just condensed it down to.
Ah, that would have been perfect. So maybe I need to go check that out. But I will tell you, these books have been accessible enough where I understand them, and it makes sense, and I'm enjoying it, and I've never read it. So accessibility is two thumbs up for Jason Aaron.
Yeah, I think everybody is tangentially aware of the Turtles to some degree, whether from the movies, the TV show, the various video games, whatever, that you get the basic idea and you should be able to get in if it's an accessible enough storyline. It's good to hear that they're keeping it accessible.
Yeah, yeah. It's enjoyable. Will I stick with it long term? As long as I'm having fun.
That's all they can ask.
Yeah. So they have me for four issues and I'm still pre-ordering.
Cool. All right. So my question.
Yeah.
Have you started working on your picks for the yearly comic spotlight?
I have not, but it has crossed my mind. I was literally going to ask you after we were done recording.
Technically, I have started, by which I mean I've prepped my notes by copying the thing out of the forum thread and putting it into a text file saying I ought to fill this out. I haven't actually picked anything yet.
Ah.
But we all need to kind of get moving on this because submissions are going to be due by 9 a.m. Monday, January 27th, 2025, because the episode's going to come out on February 3rd. We're recording it there on the 28th of January, so I'm giving you as much time as I can to get your picks in and stuff. It's a shorter list of questions this time around. Should be easier to fill out and stuff. As you fill it out, when you mention a creator, give us some context. When you mention a title, give us some context. Because we've had a lot of times in the past, and it's more frequent now that I'm reading a lot less and not doing the sales numbers and stuff, where somebody mentions this creator on that book, and I still have no idea who the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, someone will say their favorite artist is R.B. Silva. Just popped into my head because I'm looking down at previews, and maybe I have no clue what R.B. Silva was an artist on. I don't know. Okay, cool.
I would recognize the name as a creator. I'm not even sure I could tell you writer or artist sometimes on some of these. But give us a title, a character, a publisher, as much as you can to really kind of round out why did that person or that character, that title, that whatever stick out to you?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Assume we don't know what you're talking about because sometimes it's true.
Yeah, very true. But I'm going to start looking at my picks, getting my sheet together at least, and start getting ready because hopefully we get a lot of people sending in their favorites, you know, for the end of the year.
I sure hope so. You'll have most of January, almost all of January, to get your picks in. And it's funny because I've gotten pushback on this in past years. Of why so late and stuff. It kills me when people, you know, at Thanksgiving are giving their best of 2024 stuff. It's like, the year's not over yet. There's an entire month left. Here, you can get the entire calendar year of stuff, have a few weeks to think about it, read it maybe even, before having to get your picks in. And don't feel, if you're not getting current books, that you can't participate. If your best of the year is something from a past year, point it out. Give us a context of this isn't from this year. It was published back in the 80s, the 90s, the, you know, the 60s, whenever it was. Because we want to get everybody's input on this and just see what the community, what they're reading, what they're enjoying, what's working for them.
Yeah. If you like some 80s Brian Boland or from Judge Dredd, put them up there. I'll be happy to read it off.
Or Camelot 3000, which we're going to be doing in two nights as we record this. 2 weeks ago as this gets released, I believe, for the book club.
Yeah, that's true. I really like him.
We're going to be doing the first four issues out of the 12, so there'll be two more installments of the book club. If you want to join that, get on the Slack channel. That's where we've got all the information to hop on the Zoom call and stuff like that. If you need help getting on the Slack channel, email me and let me know. Happy to help out. If you want to get on Slack or the forum, go to the front page of the comicbookpage.com website. It's got the information. One of the major pieces of instructions you've got to follow is to follow it up with an email. And there's an email me button on the bottom of just about every page of the comicbookpage.com website telling me I have signed up as this name. Here's my email address, either for the forum or the Slack channel or both, so I can actually approve you. The number of bots we get is staggering.
Wow.
And this is just how I prevent that kind of stuff. Because I don't want a closed community, but I want a community of comic fans.
Real people.
Yeah, real people. Real people, yeah. None of these AIs or bots or whatever, you know? So I don't think that's too big of a hurdle for people to overcome.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to the yearly comic spotlight. Like I said, simpler set of questions this time around. I've still got to give some thought as to what are going to be my highlights of the year, because I'll be honest, comics this year were okay. Very few were great.
I'm right there with you. I think people have heard that in our frustration in the recordings over the year.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got to point out the gems because there are a few.
There are some. And again, that's part of why I keep doing the preview spotlight and stuff, is this is how people, myself included, find out about new things and hopefully get excited about them.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that does it for me.
Cool.
Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. The deadline is typically the second Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. Check the main page of the website for more information and the exact deadline for the next preview spotlight.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, form, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayall. And thanks again for listening.